I'm Joe Lee with your Play-by-Play Network Sports Minute. If you could write a storybook about a basketball playoff series, you would write it about the current series in the second round between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. You have the reigning champions getting pushed to the brink against the young and up-and-coming team that is talented as all hell. Even the way the series started, with the younger team not knowing pressure from their left elbow, going up 2-0 in the altitude, no less, and putting all that pressure on the reigning champs. You'd also have the champs returning serve and evening up the series and truly making it a series. Part of the talk of these playoffs is the coming out party for Anthony Edwards and how he's playing, well, like a certain all-timer. If you want to continue those comparisons, this series from Minnesota could be compared when Michael Jordan and the Bulls lost to the Boston Celtics in the first round of the 86 playoffs. Even though the Chicago Bulls got swept out of that series in the first round, and to this point, nobody has set a current playoff record for points in a game, I think the comparison works. As great as Edwards and Minnesota have been so far, they have to learn how to win this time of year. Everybody does. Even LeBron, even Jordan, and now even Edwards. As big of a scare as this was for the Denver Nuggets, I believe they will win this series in 7. And that will propel the Nuggets to get back to the NBA Finals. What it will also do is be the fuel that Anthony Edwards needs to take that next step in his budding career. So, in a weird way, it's the 1986 playoffs all over again. For the Play-by-Play Network, I'm Joe Leo.
It's the Grind Hours Podcast, and it's coming in your ear, telling you all of the news that you need to hear. Baseball talking, football talk, and NBA as well. Joe has got the highlights, and it's just like show and tell. Joe and all his radio friends make sure the updates never end. Breaking news and analysis, tennis shoes.
Hello and welcome to the Grind Hours Podcast for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, recording this just after 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Long Island. And I got to start, like we're going to start a lot, hopefully, in the next couple of days, and that's with the New York Knicks. Now, Sunday, I don't have to tell you if you're a Knicks fan, I don't got to tell you if you watch that game and you're a fan of the NBA playoffs. The Knicks got boat raced. They got blown out, whatever term you want to use. They had a bad game. A bad game. And you can't play great in the playoffs every single game. Go ask the Denver Nuggets in game 2 of the series they're currently playing against the Timberwolves just how bad of a game they had in game 2. So everybody has a bad game. Knicks had a bad game in game 3 of the series against the 76ers in the first round. It happens. I can't put my finger on the game that Milwaukee had against Indiana, but it happened in their series as well. Boston this series against Cleveland, game 2. Happens. Happens all the time. How they respond is what really makes a team different. And so far, this Knicks team, when they've been punched, they've gotten up and they've punched back. And that has to go with who the coach is, and that has to go with who the star player is. And Brunson has always bounced back, and especially this postseason. Game 2, had 24 points. I believe he had 21 in game 1 of the first round series, and the whole talk over those couple of days was, is Brunson really legit? Can he handle the pressure of being a number one in the playoffs? And then game 3, game 4, I know game 3 they lost, but 39 in game 3, 47 in game 4. He went on a run that only MJ and Oscar Robertson went on. That's it. That's the list at the end of that series. So he's responded. In game four of this series, Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I should say, he had 18 points. He's going to respond. This team is going to respond. Josh Hart, after getting two games of rest, pretty much, because he didn't play the full game, he's going to respond. DiVincenzo, who was like a minus 40 in game four, he's going to respond. And guess what? That building is going to respond. MSG is the great equalizer. It took a out-of-body experience for Tyrese Maxey for the Knicks to lose a game. That's the only game they've lost at MSG this postseason. That building and that crowd and how that team responds to that crowd is the great equalizer. Can Indiana hold up against that? Because if you look at it in Indiana, how they've evened this series up, because I think a lot of Knicks fans need this context. And I get it, it's the postseason, it usually comes down to one possession, especially with this Knicks team. But game three, Nembhard had the prayers of all prayers answered at the end of that game after Brunson went down and tied it with a step back. End of shot clock, need to chuck up a three from 31 feet out. And it goes in. And that's how you lose. Okay. Lick your wounds. Get ready for game four. Win game four. End it tonight at the Garden. Well, Indiana hit everything they looked at. From jump. Everything they looked at. 57% from the field. 45% from three. It was just one of those games. And if you're a fan of playoff basketball, what I compared it to on Sunday, watching it with my family, was Golden State, when they would just get red hot against Cleveland in the NBA Finals. You knew one game, Steph and Klay were just going to hit everything they looked at, and they were going to win like 140 to 110. And that's just how it was going to go. And it usually happened in Oracle. Well, Indiana just had one of those nights where didn't matter where they were, didn't matter who it was going in. And there's nothing the Knicks can do. If you're on that side of something like that, there's nothing you can do. And that's okay. Because, again, you can't be perfect in every single game. And the team that you're playing against, who's pretty damn good, they got to this point, is just going to have one of those nights. Maybe it's like that for the Knicks tonight. You know, maybe DiVincenzo and Deuce just go nuts and hit 18 of 24 threes. Combined, of course. And just go nuts. Maybe. Maybe Brunson has 50 tonight. Maybe Precious Achiuwa grabs 15 rebounds. Maybe Hartenstein goes for 25. Who knows? But what I do know is this team will respond and will come out, maybe not initially, because that's the one thing this team doesn't really do, is start out fantastically. They will respond. And the Garden will be rocking again. And all the worry and this series is over and we suck and we too many injuries and what is Tibbs doing to this team, that'll all go by the wayside. Now, I do think tonight will be another close game because that's, again, what the Knicks do. But this team, at every single point this year, has responded. They have. Mitchell Robinson goes down in November. Well, who cares? Isaiah Hartenstein will step up. Randall goes down. Well, who cares? We have a collection of Nova guys that'll step up. OGs went down. Okay, Brunson went to a whole nother level. This team has won games with all the guys who are currently hurt or not playing well. Bogdanovich hasn't really been hurt, but when OG went down, Bogdanovich just got here, and he sucked. He sucked. He didn't play well. So you have all of what you had at the beginning of March, now in the middle of May. You've won before. I get it. The teams are different. You're not. There's no reprieve in Chicago coming up on the schedule. But you've won games. You know how to win. Your coach knows how to win. Your best player knows how to win. So I think they will respond tonight. I said Knicks in six. I'm going to, you know, erase that prediction a little bit and say Knicks in seven. I still believe this Knicks team is better than Indiana. I do, even with all the injuries. Because one thing that has been true about this team is every single time you've counted them out this year, they've made a reason for you to eat crow. Every time. And who am I to say it's not going to happen again? Because I damn sure don't want to be on the other side and give up on this team and be one of those guys that has to come on here and say, well, I was wrong. I should have believed and I didn't. And I believed up to a certain point and I counted them out. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out fighting with this team. Because I'm rooting for Brunson. I'm rooting for Tibbs. Because, I mean, Brunson's phenomenal, but Tibbs is a guy who's been hacked at every single chance he's gotten since he's been here. And a bunch of Knicks fans believe you can't win a championship with Tibbs. Well, I don't know if you can win a championship, but you can get to the Eastern Conference Finals with Tibbs. And you can give Boston a run for their money if OG gets back. If. So, that's where I'm at with the Knicks. After the break, we have to switch to something we haven't talked about for a while. Because I got a bone to pick with the NFL. Right after this. Sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and I want to connect you with an opportunity to get started or even get ahead. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit my page, signupexpert.com/grind, you'll be able to get connected to all the sportsbooks in your area, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and when you register using my link, you will automatically receive all the top offers at each one. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you always have the best access to all the available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of all these benefits and support the podcast, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/grind. Again, that's signupexpert.com/grind. SeatGeek is the number one ticket app for buying and selling tickets. Sports fans, music fans, comedy fans, theater fans of tickets. Use my code GRINDHOUR to get into the building to get yourself a seat. Again, that's code GRINDHOUR at checkout for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. One more time, code GRINDHOUR. That's GRINDHOUR at checkout. All right, coming back here. Got to switch to the NFL because schedule release is tomorrow. Hooray! Kind of. I have an issue with how all of this is going down. We already have some leaked games. We know where the season's starting with the rematch between Kansas City in KC against Baltimore. We know the Monday night matchup of Jets at the Niners, which I have some other thoughts about, but I don't like the leaking. You're a multi-billion dollar company. I don't really like the whole brouhaha that you have with the schedule release. I don't get it. I don't. Because, and look, I say I don't get it, but Friday, we're going to have Nick on, and we're going to do the win-loss, win-win-loss game with the Jets and the Giants. Okay? That's just how it's going to go. It'll run a little bit longer than the usual time that we're doing this, but that's what we're doing on Friday. And I'm playing into the whole nonsense because I'm a schmuck. But the reason why I have a problem with it is if you have a set release date, and they had last week, I believe it was supposed to be Thursday of last week, and then they push it to Wednesday of this week. A, why don't you come out and say why? B, stop leaking stuff. Everyone's already excited. People only really care about their team to begin with the schedule release. Now, they'll get all hopped up about matchups throughout the year. That's just how it goes. But now, people only really care about their team. Chiefs fans only care about where the first game is going to be. The Jet fans and so on, Panther fans too. Everybody cares about their schedule. Stop leaking it. I don't care. I don't want to care. I don't want it to scroll past it on my feed. Just release it. If you want to do a whole TV show with the schedule release and here's what the week one slate's going to be, fine, do that. It's within your right. But stop with this nonsense. If you have a day, do that. And if you have to postpone it, tell us why. Even if it's some BS reason, tell us why you postponed it. Because you really didn't know that the Jets were going to open up in San Francisco a week ago? Really? Now with the Jets on Monday Night Football, another bad omen. Rodgers returning home because he's from that area. Salah's first time back in San Francisco. All the pressure that's going to be on the Niners this year. Can Shanahan really get it done? How are they going to handle the Super Bowl hangover? How are they going to handle what happened to that defense late and the decision to kick the ball to Mahomes or take the ball instead of kicking the ball to Mahomes and giving Mahomes a second shot in overtime? All that is going to be baked into week one. And Rodgers, can he play more than four plays? As a Jet fan, when I first saw that, my initial reaction was, oh, it was. Because you've seen this before. How many times in the lead up to that game and during that game are we going to see the Rodgers Achilles explode? It's going to be on a loop all week. And can he play more than four plays? How is this year going to be different? Is this the last year for Salah? Is this the last year for Douglas? What are they going to do with Wilson and Sauce Gardner? And all the, you know, Tyrone Smith, can he play more than like eight games this year? And all that pressure. The spotlight's going to be bigger than it was last year because there's more pressure on this team than there was last year. I don't want to deal with that. Sorry. I'll deal with that in week two. I don't care if we're the Sunday night game. I don't. I mean, it would still kind of be a little bit of the same thing with the Monday night vehicle, but at least it's on the day where everybody else plays. I don't want to have to wait again until Monday night. And again, go through all of the anxious and nervous feelings and have to really see all that nonsense again anyway. My ideal would be a 4:25 game. Really, I would like a 1 o'clock game, but I know with Rodgers, we're not going to get that week one. I would have loved to be the game of the week on Sunday. Love to. Put us on the moon. I don't care where we're playing. But really, Monday Night Football again? You want to do this again? Why? I can't believe I'm channeling Mike Greenberg here, but what did Jet fans do to Roger Goodell to deserve this? Who wanted this? Who thought this was a good idea? And if you're a non-Jet fan, you're probably saying, really? I have to deal with the Jets again in primetime? Really? So that's just ridiculous, and I hate it, and I'm going to watch, duh, but I'm going to hate it It's not going to be fun, and I'm going to, at every chance that I get to talk about this game up until the start of it, I'm going to say the same thing. Because every Jet fan feels the same way. Every single one of them feels the same way that I do. We really have to face this demon again in Santa Clara this time? It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And the NFL hates the Jets. One more note before we get out of here. Has to do with some quarterback news. Not with my team. But with America's team, not the Cowboys, but the Lions, the Detroit Lions. They signed today, I believe, Jared Goff to a four-year, $212 million contract with $53 million a year, which resets the quarterback market and makes him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Now, all I have to say is, if you are Dallas, if you are Jacksonville, if you are fill in the blank with quarterback coming up on a deal, the salary cap's going to go up with all the money that's being influx into the league. We're going to get a quarterback at some point getting $65, maybe $70 million a year. And I don't want to say Jared Goff doesn't deserve his money because it was his turn and he got paid. And if you're Detroit, he's done right by you. You thought you were getting the lesser of the trade, and in terms of quarterback play since the trade, it's kind of been even. Stafford's been a little bit better, but he's had a lot more to work with. And Goff, who everyone thought was just going to fall on his face again, because everybody thought he was no good, has done pretty damn well for himself, and he's got two playoff wins, which Detroit hasn't seen in 100 years, and got paid. Now you're going to look at that contract and go, oof, he's getting how much for this guy? But again, that's just how the quarterback wheel goes. And I mean, you could look around the NBA, Major League Baseball, not really in hockey, but you look at some of the contracts and go, oof, why? Just because when it was so good for Goff, and again, how this resets the quarterback market, who knows? Who's next up? Who knows? It's probably going to be somebody better than Goff, but I think with what Detroit has done this offseason and rewarding the guys that got them there with big-time money, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is getting the most receivers ever gotten as well. So you have the highest paid quarterback and the highest paid receiver. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Detroit, but with that coach, with the way that that team has played and all the crap that they've ensued since Dan Campbell has gotten there, I think that that's their division to reign over for a couple of years here. Now, I do think Chicago will make some noise in that division and challenge Detroit. But I think we have a situation where Detroit's going to really be good. And if that's a hot take, then you don't know what a hot take is. But, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, Detroit's going to have a downer of a year because of what they, all the success that they had a year before. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they're going to be pretty good for a pretty long time. All right, on this side of the coin, Joleo67 on Threads, jdatasports.blogspot.com, and of course this podcast. If you reach this point, please like, subscribe, share this podcast to anybody who you seem fit. If you're on Apple, please give us a review. If you're on Spotify, please leave us a comment. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and comment. In terms of the blog, working on a couple of things. Don't know when the next piece will be out. Hopefully, I said a couple of podcasts ago, I'm going to try to get a column out every Friday. With the way that May is going, it might be every other Friday. But I'm going to try to get a piece out sooner rather than later. Working on a couple of things, and I'll decide which one I want to really, really flesh out and put up. So go over to jdatasports.blogspot.com. Put your email in, you'll get a notification when that piece drops. This podcast, I hinted just a couple of minutes ago that Nick will be on on Friday to go over the NFL. I don't know why I said it like that, but the schedule release for the Jets and the Giants will play the win-win-loss game. And we'll have Austin on to talk this game tonight with the Knicks and how that will impact the rest of the series. And maybe a little, maybe a taste of what could be coming down the pike for the Knicks in the offseason. Maybe not. Maybe that's a podcast for a different day and we'll have that discussion at a different time. But that's what's coming on Friday. And until then, from the sweet words of Semisonic, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Peace.